Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Welcome to the Expanding Your Faith podcast, where open minds and searching hearts come together to explore the deepest questions in life, spirituality, and what it means to live in faith. I am your host, Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Bishop Ben.
Blessings to all.
And Father Matt.
Hello, everyone.
And we are all truly grateful that you're joining us tonight. Tonight's episode is titled, Rethinking Sin, Salvation, and the Afterlife. These are big topics that have shaped countless lives, cultures, and beliefs. But what happens when we revisit them with fresh eyes, open hearts, and a willingness to question? We're going to unpack traditional and alternative perspectives on sin, explore the many layers of salvation, and delve into the mystery and hope of the afterlife. This is not about providing all the answers, because Lord knows we don't have all the answers, but creating a space for thoughtful reflection, honest questions, and perhaps a dose of wonder. Whether you're rooted in a particular faith tradition, exploring your own spiritual path, or simply curious about how others approach these topics, you're in the right place. Let's set the tone for respectful dialogue, curiosity, and compassion toward ourselves and each other. So grab a cup of coffee or tea, a cigar if you want, and settle in, and let's begin this journey. So let's start with the word that brings up a lot of feelings. Sin. Mm-hmm. Sin. For many, sin conjures the image of guilt, shame, or a strict list of do's or don'ts. Traditionally, sin is viewed as a violation of divine law, separation from God or the sacred. In many faith traditions, it's something that must be confessed, repented, or atoned for. What are your thoughts on sin, Reverend Mark?
Oh, well, I was brought up in a faith tradition that, just a little humor to lighten the load of this heavy topic. If it makes you grin, then it must be sin.
Right.
That was kind of the theme and the idea in the faith tradition I was brought up in. Sin was prominent in most of the messages that I heard growing up. Growing up Pentecostal, the only thing that I think would outshine that was would be the emphasis of Holy Spirit and teachings on Holy Spirit. But sin, the sin nature, how horrible we are, how terrible we are, that was a huge aspect of my upbringing, part of my upbringing. And having journeyed for the last many, many years studying and reading Scripture and understanding, I think, what Scripture is trying to get us to see, I think we have used the word sin, I think we've used sin as a controlling technique. Mm-hmm. Many churches use that as a controlling technique to just keep people in a particular way, get somebody to do a particular thing. And, I still struggle some days with overcoming stuff that was ingrained in me, but I also remind myself there are certain things that are ingrained in me that aren't, that's not gospel. And I have to weed those things out.
Certainly. Well, Father Matt, your thoughts?
Well, I, like Reverend Mark, was brought up or born into a faith tradition that everything you did that you enjoyed is sinful.
Oh, yeah.
Including that the only way to redeem my music-making self was to play cello in the choir. That way I was redeeming that aspect. So anyway, weird theology. But as I've gone to seminary and understood, my concept of sin has grown to, it's far harder to fall to sin than what I was brought up to believe, to brought up to understand. And that's just the fact of it, is that sin is anything that draws or creates a distance between your relationship to God. And it can be your doing or other people's doings that influence the way you feel and think. So part of that is wrestling with that and understanding that concept.
Certainly. And many theologians today consider that sin is just missing the mark, where we fall short of something that is obtainable, but that we just don't quite make the mark. I also like to point out that there are a lot of theologians today that equate sin with a brokenness, our wounded relationship with ourselves, others, creation, and the divine. It's not just about bad behavior, it's about things that disconnect us from love, justice, and wholeness. So sin is not just about condemnation, as Reverend Mark and Father Matt have pointed out, but an invitation to realign ourselves to live more fully and authentically in the life that we're called to live. And of course, we can't ignore the shadow side. Sometimes the fear of sin, as Reverend Mark pointed out, has been used to control, shame, or exclude people. So this gives us an opportunity to present a message of freedom and growth rather than trying to hold people back. And how do we understand sin in a way that leads to greater love, wholeness, and compassion? And for me, it's a concept of helping people find a way to reconnect to those that they have become disconnected from, whether that's God or their fellow man, and give them that freedom to once again live an authentic life and a life connected with each other. So let's look at another powerful word, salvation. Salvation for many is closely linked to sin. It's a remedy for the disease, a rescue from danger. In Christian tradition, salvation is often looked at and centers on Jesus and his promise of eternal life. It might mean enlightenment to others, or liberation, or awakening in other traditions as well. But what does salvation really mean for us here and now? Is it a one-time event or a lifelong journey? Is it a gift, a process, or both?
Gosh, how much time do we have here tonight?
Right?
Exactly.
I think salvation, I go to what, you know, Paul taught us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, fear obviously being our honor and respect and awe towards God. So approaching God and going, you know, hey, I don't have all of the answers. I know that you do. So can we, you know, reason together? Can we communicate? Can we go on a journey to find those answers where we're missing it? Because there are certain things that we're shown in the epistles that causes people to stumble. There's things that we can do to cause people to stumble. There's things that we can that don't cause us to stumble, but it may cause someone else to stumble or miss the mark. You know, I use that term over just saying sin, because you know the word sin is has the understanding it's an archery term. You know, you're trying to hit that mark, and of course, what is that mark? Not me, Mark, but but the mark of who Christ is, the life that Jesus lived before us. Are we close to that place? Are we close to fulfilling the things that he's given us to do, to say, and how to act? But salvation, to me, is giving myself over to who Jesus is, the teachings of Christ, and allowing that to rescue me from my own demises of fruitlessness, of things that don't matter in the kingdom of God, things that lead me to not necessarily mortal, you know, ending my own life here on the earth, but death as far as these are empty actions that I'm doing. These are empty actions that I'm living out. Salvation enables me to add to a person's life or to my own life by giving of the fruit of the Spirit, by tapping into the seeds that are in that fruit, by the leading of the Spirit towards wholesome living, towards wholesome life, that reflects Christ. Right. You know, I don't have to wear a big Jesus pin every day to say that I'm living the life of Jesus, life of Christ. You know, I'm preaching the gospel through what I'm doing, and then if I need to use the words, great. But that's what salvation to me is. It's rescuing me from my empty pursuits, my wrong way of thinkings, and giving me over to those lines of thinking that lead me to peace and wholeness and joy.
Absolutely. Father Matt, what are your thoughts on salvation really means for us here and now? And is it a one-time event or a lifelong journey? Is it a gift process for both?
Well, salvation is what any redeeming act for us to get outside of missing the mark. So for that definition, as it was revealed to me over time through seminary and theological training and other stuff, come to the realization that salvation is not a one-time event in our lives. You know, you're not just going to hit this magic button and woe is me, I'm saved. It's a constant evolution and constant process of moving throughout life and how we respond to different things that happen to us throughout life that may separate or challenge our relationship with God. The church's theology on that kind of speaks volumes, because when we go through the Christian rites of initiation, we don't do them all at once unless we're coming in as an adult and have never been baptized. It's baptism, first communion, and then confirmation. So it's this lifelong symbology of we're constantly evolving and moving throughout the rhythm of life and adapting and changing.
Correct. Bishop Ben, what does salvation really mean to you here and now?
Well, that's a very good question. And for me, it's all about how I live my life and living my life according to the gospel, living my life according to how Jesus taught his disciples to live. It's just living life in general and treating people with the way Jesus would treat people, living the true Beatitudes.
That's an excellent question, excellent response. Some people describe salvation as being saved from something, from suffering, alienation, or despair. Others see it as being saved for something, for purpose, love, and a fuller life. How do these definitions resonate with you, Reverend Mark?
Well, again, salvation is rescuing me from myself. Mm-hmm. By giving myself over to the practice and teachings of Jesus, and how those are me adopting those into my life and living those out. And it enables me to practice and be as Jesus, because Jesus is and continues to exist. Therefore, I'm practicing and living out that kingdom life or that way that God does things. And the way God does things and the thought processes God has now for me here in the earth is no different than what God would have me living in an eternal existence.
Right.
You know, God's not, you know, we're not going to stop loving our neighbors as ourselves when we get to eternity or to an eternal existence. You know, I hardly believe that. And so I'm practicing that here because I have the belief that, you know, we're to live out the kingdom of God now here on the earth. And we're to live out the kingdom of God here to embrace, not just to get to heaven, but to live as Jesus now so that I'm preparing my life forever.
Right.
And, you know, I'm allowing God to save me through embracing the teachings that he said, here's my son. Let me show you how to do this. Live this way. It's going to save you from dead works. It's going to save you from empty thoughts and ways. And it's very convoluted because that the church teaches that sin is just, you know, there to, you know, knock us away from God. And the whole thing is God trying to keep us away because we have one thing that, you know, the divine just can't, you know, handle because, you know, we're imperfect. And it's a condemnation mindset, you know, that there's just no way for us to do, you know, and there's enough in order to embrace salvation. And we don't have to, you know, fill in the how much I did for Jesus meter every day and pegging that out in order for God to love us. You know, God loves us no matter what. God, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so it's important for us to remember that. And that salvation, again, it's being pulled away from those dead works. And it's embracing the fact that Jesus taught us how to live and us embracing that way of teaching and saying Christ's life is the life that we're supposed to be emulating, embracing, taking upon our hearts, and saying, this is what rules me.
And that's that very deeply personal aspect of salvation.
Right.
For some, salvation is about inner transformation, a shift in heart, mind, or spirit that brings new freedom, brings new life. For others, it's about the work of justice and healing the world, not just personal peace, but collective liberation. And yet, so many faith stories are filled with questions. Who is saved? How? Why? Is salvation exclusive or inclusive? What if salvation is less about escaping punishment and more about moving towards wholeness and love? And I think it's important that we highlight that for just a moment. Is salvation exclusive or inclusive? Because that's one of the big questions nowadays in society, especially with so many churches preaching a message of exclusivity, that only them and their followers are going to heaven. For us, all of us here on this podcast, I think that I can wholeheartedly say we believe that salvation is inclusive of all people, but there's not a certain clique of people that are getting to heaven before everybody else. What are your thoughts, Father Matt?
I wholeheartedly agree. Salvation is inclusive. You know, in John's discourse between Jesus and Nicodemus, you know, the Son of Man came to save the whole world and redeem the whole world. So it's, I can't fathom a faith where we say that no one is worth saving, or that people that, you know, people that we say that we're the only ones that are worth saving. Right. That's, to me, that's just antithetical to the gospel message. So many stories of Jesus going to people that were on the margins and that were on the outside and not the it crowd. We have to, and saying that you have worth and you are worthy of being in the kingdom.
Right.
So I think that we have to say that if we're truly professing the Christian message, salvation is an all-inclusive story theme for everybody.
Yeah, I remember listening to a very old minister years ago when I was first starting out in ministry and pastoring. He had heard of somebody that had passed. I think they knew him from years ago, or years prior. And this person lived a very sketchy life. This person lived a very questionable life. You know, cheated people and so on and so forth. And you know, the minister had heard that they had died, and immediately said within himself, well, I bet they split hell wide open and all that, you know, all those terms. They probably went to hell and all that stuff. You know, the terms that a lot of church people use. And the minister said he felt, a pause in his spirit. Some people used to say I was arrested in my heart and spirit. And, you know, these thoughts and words came to his spirit of, who am I to stand in judgment and to pass judgment of where somebody has ended up or where somebody is or the worth that that person lived. I don't know their life and their confessions and their beliefs in their innermost beings. And therefore, we can't look at outward appearance, as God told Samuel. God looks at the heart. And so he said from that point forward, he never has implied in his heart or his spirit or openly where he thinks somebody's going eternally. And I think that for us to step back and make those judgment calls to look at somebody and think, well, we know, shows us how small-minded of individuals we are, because, you know, who knows the heart of a man,
right,
or a woman or a person but that person and of God? And so it's important for us to step back, to look inward first, and then allow that radicalization of our hearts towards God's love and Christ's way of doing things and Christ's life. Let that become prominent in our hearts, and then it feeds and affects outwardly. It moves outward, and it starts touching other things, and it moves us towards living that life that seeks justice, that life that seeks to bring people in, that life that seeks to bring folks closer to God. And that same minister said, you know, God's trying to do everything that he can to draw people and to bring people to the life of Christ, not exclude them. You know, Christ told us that he came into the world to save it, not to condemn it.
Amen. As you reflect, consider this, dear listener. What does salvation mean to you in your own words? How has your understanding changed over time? If you're comfortable, share your thoughts with us online in the comments on this video, on this podcast, or you can also send us a message on Facebook or TikTok. We love hearing your journeys. And now, perhaps the greatest mystery of all, the afterlife. What happens when we die? This question has fascinated people for millennia. The idea of the afterlife has comforted and unsettled humanity. Different faiths paint different pictures: heaven and hell, reincarnation, union with the divine, or dissolution into the cosmos, going out there into the ether. Some traditions speak of judgment, others of mercy, and still others encourage us to focus on life rather than what's coming next. So, Father Matt, Bishop Ben, and Reverend Mark, have you ever wondered why so many afterlife images are woven with our hopes and fears? Is it about justice beyond this world, the longing for a union, or the comfort and meaning? Whoever wants to go first.
Father Matt, go first. I've been yapping a lot today.
No worries. That's a good question. I really think that a lot of people's fears, trepidations, and longing for an afterlife are a way of putting meaning to what they're doing here and now.
Right.
You know, the striving for and the longing to go to heaven or to the afterlife or to put whatever name people put on it, is so that they have some kind of comfort that there's something beyond this life. And I think that that's a good thought to have. But the emphasis should also be, what are we doing in this life now to make life in the here and now better? And that's kind of been my message of late, is to what can we do to fix this life so that when we get to the next life, we can say, yes, I've done something, versus just setting our eyes to heaven and saying, this is my one and only goal. Screw everything else. So.
Yeah, I personally believe that God will draw us into an eternal existence. However, we're instructed that when Jesus told the parable of the oil and the lanterns, that you had the foolish virgins and they weren't keeping their oil ready, they weren't keeping things as they should, but that we should be busy keeping the light going, even, you know, when the master comes, that's the parable, and shows up unexpectedly, that they are busy doing the work that they're supposed to do.
Right.
And that's always been my argument in life, is even if people believe in the rapture or don't believe in the rapture, it doesn't matter. We're supposed to be busy doing and living the kingdom of God right now, living the gospel right now. Whether Jesus ever comes back in my lifetime or that's never going to happen, whatever your belief system is, that it doesn't change the fact that I'm asked by the divine to live Christ in the earth right now. As right. Father Matt was saying, that I'm busy doing something for the kingdom of God right now. If I love God so much and I believe that God is an amazing thing and person and spirit that needs to be told in the earth, then why would I sit around and be like, well, I hope everybody else just stumbles across what I found? No, I just live it. I live it out. I live Jesus in the world. Again, I don't have to wear a big Jesus pin. I just do the works. I right. do the things because I want to embrace the grace of God, the love of God, and the life of God. And it compels me then. It compels me to be someone who is doing and living. And, you know, I could go on to eternity tomorrow, but I want to be busy up to that point, doing all that I can to reflect Jesus to everyone that I can, whether it's the masses or it's one person, it doesn't matter. And eternity, in my opinion, will take care of itself if I'm living what I've been instructed to live and how I've been instructed to live. And that's after the manner of Christ. And that saves me from meaningless living in the earth, and it puts out there meaningful seeds of love and hope and peace that I believe have eternal impact and can touch hearts.
You know, philosophers have asked, does the afterlife matter if it's unknowable? Of course, I think it does. I think it's important to have that hope to hold on to, especially in a turbulent world and turbulent times. Does it shape how we live, love, and make choices in the here and now? And I think that it should in some regards. But we should be doing acts of kindness and love regardless of what's coming next, just because that's the human and right thing to do. For some, belief in an afterlife provides hope and courage to face suffering and loss. And I've seen that a lot as a hospital chaplain, and I'm sure you have too, Bishop Ben. People who, at their very last moment, that idea of an afterlife brings them hope and comfort.
Right, it does. And, you know, I was going to caveat on what Reverend Mark said, and just a different spin on it, is that I say to people, live your life like you're going to, like, live your life like we're living in heaven now. Like we're living that eternity now. Walk the earth as you would, like you would plan to walk it in heaven or the afterlife, you know. Live your life to the fullest, you know. And you're right, people on the deathbed, they look at that and they say, you know, they look forward to that eternity, to meeting their loved ones, their family. The greatest healing on earth is that healing, you know, the return back to normal health, back when they go on.
Right. Absolutely. And for others, the mystery itself is liberating. It's an invitation to live with urgency, gratitude, and wonder each and every day, and that should be our call. So, listeners, what do you believe or hope about what comes next, and how does it shape the way you live today? Does it inspire you to do good works, to treat people with kindness and love, or do you just ignore it completely?
Yeah.
As we explore these questions, just remember, there is room for uncertainty, curiosity, and humility. The afterlife may be a mystery, but searching for meaning is something we all share as human beings.
Right.
So what are some of your thoughts on your journey toward, you know, living through your journey about, you know, sin and salvation in the afterlife? What was your personal journey getting to where you are today in your beliefs?
Well, I really think for a combination of things for me, I was raised again in a very, you know, if it makes you grin, it's got to be sin, a very sin-centered messaging. And you know, as I began to study in my teens and meditate on scripture, then eventually seminary and then preaching all this time, you know, you hear the passages of scripture where, you know, the famous one, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. And then Jesus saying, I came into the world not to condemn it, but to save it. And Paul telling us that the goodness of God leadeth people to repentance. And those passages of scripture seem to, you know, conflict with that theology and seem to conflict with that teaching that, you know, it's God's trying to get people into a place to where, you know, it's only very, very few people that can experience God here on the earth and so on and so forth. And so I begin to reflect for some time about how does all that work together? If it's the goodness of God, if it's, you know, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it, God so loved the world that he gave, all that stuff, all those teachings are God is trying to get us to live in such a rhythm of heaven in the under the aspect of how Christ lived here. God's trying to get us in such a rhythm of thinking as the divine does, which is so deep, and to think in those manners, that God is trying to get us into that system, into his way of doing things right this moment and throughout our lives. And that eternity is that the depth of God's love is so great that the things that God tries to do to get us into a place of eternal heaven still baffles me, that some of the worst people in our world, God loved them and God wanted them to embrace eternal life. And when I think again of death and, you know, hell, the torment that people go through here on earth by living empty, shallow lives that are all selfish, that are all about them, that are at the expense of others, and so on and so forth, that is a torment currently right here. I don't need to go to an eternal continuation of that. I'm already experiencing hell right now,
right,
by embracing those works that don't add and don't reflect Jesus. So, you know, some of these things I still question. You know, God, how do you get us over to that place from, you know, those of us that are trying to live and embrace the love of God, live that outward here, you know, okay, I get that, moving over into an eternal plane. But those people that don't, how does that happen to where they move into an eternal peace? And again, it goes back to that story I shared a few minutes ago. I'm not the judge. I'm not supposed to figure it out. Thank God I've not been tasked with figuring out how the afterlife works. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble. And then the other thing is, let the principles of Jesus speak for themselves. Let the works and the by the grace of the Spirit flow through us. And let God sort that out, you know, when we get over into the next life. I fully believe that I'm going to see those that have gone before me again. I fully believe that we're going to live in a place of eternal peace. I also have a whacked out theory that I don't know that I want to share on a recording, at how God deals with those that didn't live here in this earth, but as after the manner of Christ. But I believe God's trying to draw all people to himself. And I'm not trying to get God to rearrange everything to my theology. I'm trying to embrace how God does it. Okay. And there's some things that are still, the jury's still out. And I think we as ministers, we think we have an absolute on how things work. We need to remember that we're also on journeys trying to figure it out.
Right. Father Matt, tell us a little bit about your journey in sin, salvation, and the afterlife.
Well, my journey's kind of interesting because I was brought up, as I said earlier, in a tradition where everything you did was a sin, and it just sparked a thought into me. There's got to be more to the message than just sin bad, God good, you right. know? So it launched me to explore and eventually come to where I am today with, you know, where salvation is a lifelong journey and exploration. God made us curious for a reason. He wanted us to evolve and to grow and to find a way forward and to come up with things. And I think a lot of the theology that we've grown up with around sin and these theories on sin, as Reverend Mark pointed out before, were just the church's way of okay, let's control the little people so they don't step out of line. I mean, even Martin Luther's beef with the church originally sprung around misunderstandings that and of the church's view of sin and the afterlife. I mean, you know, the every time a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. Where is that biblical?
Right.
You know, and it's just a way for the church to make money and for the church to control people back then. And thank God we've evolved. Some of us have evolved past that to the point that, you know, no, we can see that. And yes, heaven is something to look forward to. But now we're on a journey of, okay, let's make the world better and then good things will follow. So I think that my personal journey is that of growth and development, and my faith life reflects that. And I think other people, once they realize that not everything you do is bad, they'll eventually be on that path as well.
Excellent. Bishop Ben, do you have any thoughts to share about your journey in sin, salvation, and the afterlife?
Well, you know, good question. And mine starts a similar way, but I was raised, my granddad was Southern Baptist and my grandma was Roman Catholic. So we ended up going to Baptist church on Sundays and on Saturdays to the Catholic church. So I was torn between two different religions and trying to figure out. And of course, you know, the Baptist church, you all as well, everybody knows it. Everything you do in the Baptist church is a sin. If you dance, you're sinning. If you're happy, you're sinning. You can't do both. And in the Roman church, it was the same way. It was like too much. Everything was a sin. I guess in my journey, I got lucky that I met an abbot that was in the Jesuit seminary in my hometown. And he told me, he says, there's more to, I guess he was more progressive. He told me, he said, there's more to the faith than just sin. There's more to life than just trying to get to heaven. There's more to the whole process. So he walked me, I became an altar server, and he walked me through the whole process, and he helped me realize where I needed to be.
Right.
So, you know, my process was a struggle because I was not perfect when I was a teenager. I was a smart pants. I was very rude and disrespectful to my elders until I realized, hey, you know, what am I doing wrong? So, you know, I had to reevaluate, and I turned to the abbot, you know, and he helped me, you know. So I guess I thank God for people like that in my life to help me.
Absolutely. And of course, everybody knows I came from a Roman Catholic background, and Roman Catholicism is based, their view of sin is based on the whole idea of whip me, beat me, take away my car keys, you know, and so, you know, I grew up with the same general prohibitions, you know, everything is sin, especially if it makes you grin, as Reverend Mark said, almost called him Father Mark. As Reverend Mark says, you know, and so it took some time and effort in learning scriptures authentically to understand that, you know, this was not the case. This was not how God works. And it brought me to a place where, you know, I begin to understand where the scripture says God wills that all be saved. That's exactly what's going to happen. If God wills it, then it has no option but to happen. So, you know, in that, finding that freedom and that liberation from this idea that, you know, I'm essentially damned because of, you know, I took pleasure or joy in a meal, or took pleasure and joy in music, or, you know, something of that nature, was not going to send me to hell. And it was a long process, but I ultimately got there. So as we come to the end of today's episode, let's take Let's gather our thoughts a little bit. We've explored traditional and fresh perspectives on sin, considered new meanings for salvation, and reflected on the mysteries of the afterlife. We've heard the stories of transformation and courage from our community. Through it all, we've tried to hold a space for open-mindedness, humility, and respect. So here are some takeaways that we hope that you're going to go away with today. It's okay and even good to question and revisit what we have been taught. Sin, salvation, and the afterlife can be understood in many different ways. Let's choose perspectives that lead us to greater love, wholeness, and hope. Your story matters. Your questions are welcome, and your journey is sacred. You want to give some closing thoughts, Reverend Mark?
Yeah, I think by keeping in perspective that as people that are so-called Christians, those that follow after Christ, that our first love, our first focus should be, I want to be Jesus in the earth right now. I want to be after Christ, after the life. I accept that Christ's life needs to be in mine and that I want it reflected in the world. That my life and my goal is to live the kingdom of God right now. Because I truly believe what's good and wholesome in our life, that spark of God's grace in us, that goodness of God in our lives, can help us correct the things in the world and weed out that which needs to go. And if I focus on the grace and the good, those things that are in my life, in my heart, that are not, that are opposite of that, that'll begin to weed it out and push it out and starve it out by the leading of the Spirit. And that I'm still on a journey. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. And I don't believe that God is up there in heaven. He's got an angel, you know, erasing my name from a book, then putting it back in the name, and then 10 seconds later erasing that name, and then putting it back in a book, and then taking it out and putting it back. Every minute thing that I miss,
right?
I just don't believe God is that way. And if I'm truly reaching for the life of Christ, then I believe that that is what is going to be saving my life. And maybe those that are in the world that don't know Christ, but they're trying to live after the principles of Jesus, I believe there's provision for them as well. And as you said, God wills us all, wants us all to recognize that we're part of the family and that we belong.
Thank you, Reverend Mark. Father Matt?
I don't know how to follow that one. but the only word, close word of wisdom I have is it's okay to question, and it's okay to ask questions of what you're being taught, because sometimes it leads you to a better, your own understanding and a better understanding of what God wants you to know and where God wants you to be. So it's okay to say you don't have all the answers. Question the people that say they have all the answers when it comes to matters of God, because I'll be the first one to tell you, I've studied this for a long time. I don't have every single answer to everything that people ask me. So it's okay to question and to find out for yourself what your journey in salvation is.
Bishop Ben, your final thoughts?
Wow, that's a tough one to follow after Reverend Mark and Father Matt. Wow. But you know, they covered some fine points, but on the same token, looking at what we discussed tonight and thinking about how the afterlife, the heaven, and the sin, just don't focus on all that. Focus on where your life journey is headed. Allow your heart to be open to new things, new situations, new scriptures. Just don't take the word of anybody that says, well, I know it all, right? Like Father Matt says, don't take that word. Go and do some study. But the main thing that comes to heart for me is, for some reason it's on my heart, that we need to all understand what the word true meaning of inclusive means. What does it mean? It doesn't mean for some. It means for all.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bishop Ben. If today's conversation resonated with you, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Connect with us by email or social media, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Next week, next Saturday, we're going to do a special episode, a question and answer episode. So please send your questions over the week via either email or a comment on where you see this podcast, where you listen to this podcast. With your questions for next week, try to stump myself and Reverend Mark, Father Matt, and Bishop Ben. So we'd love to hear your questions, and we'll try to answer as many as we can. Thank you for joining us on Expanding Your Faith. Until next time, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep expanding your faith. God bless. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.